Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Bit of You. Thank you for coming. I'm Sami.
And I'm Abdullah.
It's lovely to have you here and we're very excited about this new episode. Abdullah, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. I miss you very much. I haven't seen you in a minute.
It's been a hot minute. I think this is it's a kind of running theme. We seem to be catching up with the podcasts.
On the podcasts, yeah. So you had to self-quarantine after coming back from traveling.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in the last episode, I was traveling. I went to Cairo for a week and I came back and I just finished my 14-day quarantine period. So today's my first day where I'm able to leave and move around. So it's very exciting. And it was an interesting period, to be honest, because I think we've all sort of done the lockdown, stay at home kind of thing. But when you know that you have to and you're not allowed to leave, it's kind of different, you know?
And everyone else is kind of going around their normal life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, when the initial lockdown happened a few months ago, I used to go for walks and that was like my kind of daily thing. But now it's obviously too hot. I couldn't. So yeah, there was a lot of staying at home the past 2 weeks. I had to get a bit creative with the ways I was trying to keep busy, but I kind of ran out, to be honest.
I'm actually dreading it. I'm going to Lebanon in a couple of days to see my family. It's a secret now because I'm surprising my mom. I'm trying to for her birthday. The one thing that's stressing me out the most is this 2 weeks after I get back.
Yeah.
But you got to do what you got to do.
I mean, and you need to travel. I mean, obviously, you need to go see your parents. So it's worth it, honestly. It's worth it. And you have no issue staying at home either.
It's
your vibe, so.
It's my thing. Yesterday, I went out actually with a few friends. We went for dinner and then had a few drinks. And by the end of the night, I told them I wasn't even hiding it. But we were out for like 5 or 6 hours. It started off at 7. At like 12:30, I was like, I'm done. And they're like, you seem really uncomfortable. I'm like, yeah, I'm itching out of my skin. I need to get back home. But it was also really hot and we were sitting outside because it's safer and all of that. And like,
what? Were you actually?
We were sitting outside for 5 hours.
Are you serious?
No, yeah.
In pants?
What?
You're wearing pants?
No, I was in shorts.
Okay.
I was in shorts and we were all in shorts and t-shirts, but like we were all soaking wet.
Oh my God.
Like I took a shower before I left and I took a shower as soon as I got back home. It was disgusting. But I've spent so much time at home that like being out for 6 or 7 hours, I was just like, I'm done.
Sorry, let's get back to that. Why were you out though? Like, did you not feel safe staying indoors? Or?
Well, two reasons. First of all, it was safer to be outside. And we were like, okay, we're out, we're drinking, we're having dinner. We can just do that. But it was quite crowded indoors. There was still social distancing and all of that. But we just figured we might as well sit outside. The weather didn't seem so bad. But after being there for 20 minutes, you're just like, okay, I mean, we're wet.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't too bad. And it's better to be outside.
It was funny because when I was in, I love your painting, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
The new one.
The new one. That's the Beirut port. You know what? I'll put it up on Instagram.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, when we were in Egypt, my wife's family was like, oh, it's too hot to sit outside. And we're like, no, it's completely fine. Like, it was really like, it wasn't that bad. And everyone's like, oh, you're going to go to Sharm el-Sheikh. It's too hot at this time of the year. And it was chill.
We're like, coming from the UAE.
Yeah. But I think it's getting better. Like, it's I've been indoors for 2 weeks, but it's been, I mean, it feels cooler now than it did like before I left 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, enough about Corona.
Enough about all of that.
In other news, you know, I'm a big Raptors fan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And they got eliminated from the playoffs today.
Last night.
Yeah. I woke up early this morning to watch it. And
Can I tell you, my younger brother is a big Celtics fan. And he was like boasting about it on Instagram. And I sent him like an unhappy face, like the disappointed face. And he's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like he was making fun of me. And then he sent me a voice note like 2 minutes later. And he seemed really upset. And I'll have you listen to this. He goes, actually, I just feel really bad for Abdullah because I know how much he loves the Raptors.
I think your brother is like a light Celtics fan, but he's a big Manchester United fan.
He's much more into...
And I think whenever anyone's into a sports team very intensely, they know not to tickle that nerve.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So he knows the feeling of probably having your team lose and that kind of disappointment you feel. So he probably, he relates in one way or another. So
yeah, the thing is, for me, I love watching basketball, but for me, my interest in basketball is very heavily relied on the Raptors and the Raptors players. So I feel like it's a bit sad because now the this season is completely done for as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I'm not invested anymore. Because I like basketball and I like watching it, but for me it's about the Raptors rather than basketball as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still watch, obviously. I'll still watch, and I have like my favorites, whoever I want to win. But yeah, it's quite disappointing.
I mean, there's always next year.
Yeah.
They're still champions, so.
It's all good.
Yeah.
So should we get into the conversation for today? So today's guest is a friend of mine and someone Sammy has met once or twice.
Which I'm very excited about. I'm excited about, sitting down with someone that I don't know too well.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be exciting for me because he's a work colleague and I'm interested and excited to get to know him in this context. You know what I mean? On a more personal level. I won't give too much away, but generally the topic that we're going to talk about today is, I don't know how to phrase it, moving
across the world.
Yeah. So he's moved. I'm not going to give too much away. Sorry. He's moved halfway across the world. And we're just going to talk to him about his experience, how he's processed it over the past year. He's moved almost a year ago. So yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we're going to get into it very shortly.
Yeah.
Anything else, Abdullah, you have to say?
I think that's it. This tea is delicious that you made, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think you should tell the listeners what it is because it's a unique blend.
It's a unique blend. It's loose leaf pear tea with some fennel. Fennel is it's my favorite type of tea in the world. It works with everything. But this pear tea is absolutely amazing. I bought it from a very small store in Lisbon and I've been drinking it since.
Awesome. So enough about us. We'll catch you after the break.
Yeah, see you.
Welcome back, guys. So as I mentioned, we have a special guest on the episode today. I'm not going to introduce you. I'll let you do the talking. So yeah, Sam, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Sam. I come from Australia. I moved here in October last year to come and work overseas and kind of got trapped here during the COVID pandemic. But yeah, thank you for thinking I'm interesting enough to come on this podcast. I appreciate it.
You're one of the super interesting, and we'll get to the different facets of Sam or the different different sides of Sam. But yeah, so you were planning to go back. You were planning to go back.
I was planning to go back in April. Obviously, that kind of ticked over as you watch it kind of go slowly, and then you're like, oh no, I'm not gonna be able to go home. So I booked a ticket back for November to see people over Christmas and everything like that, because it's still a 2-week quarantine in Australia at the moment. And then I'll come back and obviously keep working and do that kind of thing. I'm looking forward to going home, to be honest.
So you haven't been back since you...
No, this is 13 months. So
my god,
13 months in November it'll be. So it's been, what, I went on a trip in December. And that's it. I've been in the country ever since. Yeah, Copenhagen. Yeah. And that was awesome. And then I've basically seen the desert for the entire time. So
like you mentioned, you're from Australia. Mm. You pretty much lived on Australia your entire life, except for a couple of years in Scotland, right?
No, I in my early days, like when I was from 6 to 16, I lived in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
I think I told you about this.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. It was a lot of... So what we lived on, basically an older farm. Like it was shared with a sheep farmer. And I lived a good portion of my life, my younger age, on a farm in New Zealand.
That's awesome.
It was good fun.
So what inspired you to move all the way from Australia / New Zealand?
All the way here. It kind of came about weirdly by chance and by accident. The previous job that I worked at, my boss in Australia, so he knew that I wanted to travel. He knew that I wanted to go overseas, and I had been talking to him about it for a little while and going, listen, I would love to go somewhere else. And I was trying to reach out to the offices that we had in the US and everything like that, but there was nothing really eventuating. So he sat down with me one day and was like, listen, I know some people in the UAE. If you would like to go there, it's something different and something new and exciting, and you can kind of go travel and do all these types of things, and you'll make a decent living out of it too. So I was like, oh yeah, that seems pretty good. So I applied for a few different positions in different places. And then it came a point where we were kind of under the pump for work. We were winning work and we were doing things, but we weren't doing as much as the other units. So it came to a point where they made the entire team redundant. And we were like, oh no, everything. But on the same day that they made us all redundant, I get a call going, hey, we'd love an interview. And I'm like, sweet.
Oh, perfect.
Ready to go. So I had an interview, and then a few days later they were like, we'd love to have you. So I was just like, sweet as, I'll be there in a few months.
Is that something you had considered? Like the UAE, is that something you had considered?
Not or? In the slightest.
So it just kind of, it presented itself.
It presented itself, and it was like the opportune time. There was a whole bunch of different things that kind of stacked in its favor, and it was a lot by accident, and it just kind of came about to be perfect. To be honest.
So it was a pretty quick turnaround from finding out you got the job and then coming here.
Yeah, it was almost like same day type stuff.
That's amazing.
So it kind of, it's like, it's almost like divine intervention at that point. You're like, okay, I think I should take the opportunity to go, even though it's something that I've never even thought about. And obviously you like, when you think about like different countries, when you're thinking about going overseas, I'm thinking Europe and America and stuff that I'm kind of more familiar with, yeah. I guess. But then you think of the UAE or China or something like that, and you go, I don't know enough about that, but it sounds interesting enough. And then you kind of get here and you're like, whoa, this is so much more than what I bargained for all the time.
So when you moved, what was that experience like for you? I mean, you've moved here completely on your own. You don't really know anyone that was here.
No.
What were some of the challenges that you experienced moving here? And can you walk us through that a little bit?
It was super stressful.
Yeah.
Mostly because you just, yeah, like you said, don't know anyone. So you're constantly thinking like, okay, where do I go? What do I do? Who do I talk to? And so like, luckily we work in an office that's really, really helpful and lovely people that will be basically going, hey, you can go here, you can go there, you can do all these types of things, as well as help you out with accommodation and everything like that. Like for the first two months I was living in a hotel, and then someone from our office actually gave me a room to stay in while I found an apartment, which was really lovely of them. And I was like forever thankful for that. Like I think one of the hardest things was I think finding an apartment, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like when you don't really know the landscape of this place and how like everything works, when you get like municipality fees and all the different bills you have to pay, and there's like the separate different things
and your IDs and all of
that. Oh yeah, like you can't get an apartment until you get an ID, and then you find out later that people have been like, oh yeah, no, I got my apartment without my ID, and you're yeah. like, oh what? Hang on,
I think the challenge is because you essentially, I mean, probably this is like common of like all companies that bring in people from abroad specifically to work. You come in and you stay at a hotel for like, you have a certain period, like however many weeks or a month or 2 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And within that 2 month period, you're expected to like acclimatize, you know, you're starting a new job in a completely different country, find an apartment, get all your logistics and your administrative stuff set up, obviously banks and all that stuff. So I think it's such a challenging period because on top of that, and like you said, it's, if you don't know much about the landscape, or you know, you don't know, you know, what areas are preferable, what, you know, where you think you would fit in, where you think you'd have a, you know, you'd enjoy living, you know, and you have to kind of pick that up really quick.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think the way that to do it, if I was to do it again, is the way that one of our colleagues at the office has done it. Basically, he's found a really kind of cheap place to live for like, I think it's a monthly rental of like $2,500, something like that. And he's getting an idea for the landscape, basically where he wants to go, where he wants to live. And like where I chose to live, which is in the more expat community, I like it here. I do. But I think if I was to do it again, I'd still want to like kind of explore the city a bit more.
Yeah.
And get a feel for it, because I felt like it like, even though you are here for like the 2 month period, it's a mad rush because you're constantly thinking about, oh, I gotta get all my appliances, I gotta get all my bills paid, I gotta like, I actually gotta sign contracts, I gotta set up accounts and make sure everything's all good and
work.
Yeah
and work on and top
work
of that
at the same time. So I was taking work home to the hotel, doing stuff, and then on the weekends I was just like madly rushing around being like, what can I buy and what can I get? And then the people talk to you about things like DeBizzle and all those different things, and you go, what is DeBizzle? And what can I actually buy? And so you don't know how much you can haggle with people. You can haggle quite a bit.
Yeah.
People have haggled with me quite a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But like, I think I went in a bit too hard with a lot of different things. I was like, oh yeah, I'll just pay up front for that. Cause a lot of the things here are a lot cheaper as well. Like appliances and TVs and electronics and stuff.
Australia, you mean?
Oh yeah. Like yeah. I think for the things that are, I find more expensive, there are a lot of things that are a lot cheaper here for what you get. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. So that's that price. So that's like, you just go, I'll just buy it brand new. When in reality, you can go find an expat who's leaving and you go, I'll buy your $1,500 couch for $500 or $250. And they go, yeah, whatever.
Just take it off.
Exactly. They sometimes they give it to you for free. Yeah. So it's like, whatever.
Did you have a moment? Because I've always felt whenever I've traveled, and especially like on my own, whenever I've moved, the first morning, that's usually it for me, the first morning of like waking up in my new apartment or wherever I'm staying, I have this moment of like, what the fuck have I done?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you mean when you move somewhere or when you travel?
No, when I move.
Mm.
Even when I moved cities, like when I came to Abu Dhabi, my first morning here, I woke up and I was like panicking. I'm like, what the fuck have I done to myself?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a surreal experience. Did you have that or were you too busy to kind of like...
No, I definitely had that. Okay. No, it was the first 2 weeks of being in the hotel. And I remember waking up on the weekend, I think it was like 5 o'clock in the morning, and staring at my ceiling going, have I just made the biggest mistake of my life? Because I was honestly, it wasn't because of anything other than I think I was just a little bit homesick and like you're just running through all these different things in your head and you're just going, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you just get all caught up in all the different things that actually are fine. Like they're going to work out. They're going to be fine. People are going to help you out with different things. But at the time, you're just like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
I had it all. I had a job. I had family, I had friends around, stuff like that. And I've moved all the way across the world to have none of it. And you're like, oh no. But with that comes the opportunity to kind of build friendships and meet a whole bunch of really interesting people as well.
Yeah.
Which I found.
I think that's an important thing because you have to, in those situations, you kind of have to remind yourself there's a reason why you moved in the first place.
Mm.
And it, whether it's for, you know, developing your career or, you know, just wanting a new experience.
Mm.
You know, there's always a reason why you moved. And obviously, like, you know, looking back, you can always kind of be like, is this the right thing? You know, but it's true, though. I mean, when I moved to London, I remember thinking, like, I was on the plane and I was like, I'm moving to London. Like, you know, it was just for 1 year. And like, I didn't know what was going to happen after the year. But I was just like, I'm moving to London. And I get to London and I was like on the way back from the airport. And I was like, 7 hours ago, I was living in Abu Dhabi and now I'm living in London. And it's just, it's a weird feeling. Like, you know, it's... I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like...
But it is one of the things that actually you got to go back to, like you said, because it was one of the reasons why I left was I felt like I was stagnating a little bit in my current job. And my current feeling was like, I need to shake things up a little bit. And I remember when I did my exchange to Scotland, it was only for 6 months and it was through uni. So it's a kind of different feeling. But I remember back to it and I was like, that was the best time of my life. Because even though I didn't know anyone there, I made a whole bunch of friends. I met some really cool people and I got to do a whole bunch of things. And I was like, oh, I'm excited about doing that. Because it's so close to Europe. I went to a whole bunch of places in Europe and was just like, oh, well, Abu Dhabi is not that far away from Europe and from a whole bunch of really cool countries. And
I think, that's one of the cool things. You get to travel to, I mean, it's accessible to go to Asia. It's accessible to go to Europe.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, yeah. So I think that's one of the nice things of, you know, there's one thing I want to get more into that you touched on. So you mentioned that you live in an expat community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, naturally, like someone moving to a completely different place, there's this kind of natural tendency to start to, you know, hang out with people you're more familiar with, mm-hmm. either from the same place or from the same region. With you, I don't get that. Like, I don't get that. Like, you're friends with, I mean, because I know you and, you know, you're friends with people from all over, like people are all over the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I mean, people from South Africa, mm-hmm. obviously people from Australia as well. Is that like a conscious decision you made to kind of, I don't know, maybe step outside of your comfort zone and try to experience different cultures? Or is that something that, I mean, obviously the thing is the context we work in is also a really sort of multicultural and diverse setting. So that, I think that kind of helps that. But Is that something you actively seeked, or is it something that's kind of just happened as you?
I think it is something I consciously seeked, but it's also, I don't know where any of the Australian people are. I have no idea. Like I think I've met outside of the office maybe one or two other Australians.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are. they're hiding. but I enjoy, because it's like anything. Like you go to a restaurant to try like different things. You don't go and get the same thing every single time. Mm. Like I feel like I know what Australian people are like. I know where they are. It's always nice to hear an Australian accent and be around that and be able to kind of joke around and be like, oh, they get my kind of way of speaking and everything like that. But I enjoy actually being around like a diverse culture of people because it's more interesting, I think, because you can ask them, like, you got to be careful with what you say, but then you can kind of play the dumb card and be like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, but like, yeah, I definitely enjoy more being around people that are just from different parts of the world. And I think that's an interesting part about being here is like, you have such a variety of people coming from different areas and they're all kind of got this very interesting story of how they got here, which is kind of the perfect place to do a podcast, to be honest with you, because you can kind of get that from just a like stranger across the road. Like I sold a table, like a bedside table the other day to one of the people that lives in Arktau, and he's from Cameroon, but he lived in Melbourne and he used to DJ and go to Thailand. And like he's just got like this variety of different things that he did in his whole life. And he's now here with his wife who's teaching, and he's just like, I'm going to chill out and do nothing for a little bit. And you're like, okay, cool. So like it's fun to kind of run into those people as well and be like, oh, just struck up a conversation at a lift. Which is always nice.
When I was younger, the biggest move I ever did was moving to Canada. And I think I made that decision as well. There's a huge Arabic community there. And I made the decision not to be a part of it, not because of anything, but I was like, I'm moving across the world. Mm. Why not meet new people? I had the same kind of thought process, but I was much younger then. It was so much easier to make friends. And I think, you know, as you grow older, it always gets a bit more difficult to make friends. So I just wanted to know, you're a very, very friendly guy. I've met you a couple of times and I already feel like you're my friend, but I just want to kind of see what your experience was like making friends. How did you approach it? Did you have any struggles with that at all? Because it can be quite tough.
Yeah. I think it's fairly tough here as well, because you have this mentality of being an airport city and airport country where people are here for a short time and not a long time. And so people don't necessarily want to get too attached to other people, and they tend to kind of be a little bit more standoffish, I think. But it doesn't stop. I don't think it should stop you from trying to make friends and be around people. I think it makes it more difficult for sure. And I have found it pretty difficult to meet people outside of work.
Yeah.
I think just because, I mean, that's basically where you are majority of the time. And a lot of the activities that you do outside, I think I'm speaking also out of turn because I came at a time where it's a pandemic outside. So, like I haven't been able to experience it fully. I'll be a part of a whole bunch of different things, which I wanted to. But in saying that, I think it's also a little bit harder because if you don't have like a car or places to get around, or like maybe even someone just to show you and introduce you to things, it's really kind of daunting to kind of go into a fresh situation and be like, hi, nice to meet you, and all that kind of thing. But it's just practice, I think, a lot of the time as well.
Yeah, making friends is a very interesting, I just find it very interesting because like if you're in university, it's just much easier, I find, because especially if you're doing your undergrad somewhere like Sammy said, like Canada, or I mean anywhere really, like even if it's here or like any university you go to, there's a pretty high chance that the people you're studying with are coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if it's like a university in the UK, even if it's people from the UK, from other parts, but there's a high chance that they're coming into that university. So that, you know, everyone's looking to meet new people. Mm. So it's like people are looking for the same thing that you're looking for.
Yeah.
I found it a bit more difficult when I did my master's. And I think I don't know if it's because people in my program or in a master's program just tend to be a little bit older and then maybe a bit more, I don't want to say settled in their life, but a bit more established, let's say, in their life. So they have their social circles, they have their, you know, relationships and all these things. So I found it a little bit harder when I was doing my master's, and I think it's even more so when you're working. But you've done a really good job, I think.
Oh, thank you.
Especially in a pandemic. I didn't even think of that until you mentioned it. Yeah, that's wow. Yeah,
it's pretty full on. But it's actually an interesting concept as well, because I wonder why people are so closed off once they get to a more mature age. I know you're kind of set in your social circles and everything like that, but I wonder why it's not open. Like, I think it also depends on where you're coming from as well. So if you're someone that's like me, that's come into a country that's brand new to you, and you're of a mature age and you're coming with no one and you're like, fresh start, here we go. You're going to be way more open than the person that's been there, obviously, for like 5 years and has got the kind of thing down, and they're going to kind of be probably closed off to you,
yeah,
more open. So I think it's very hard, and it's made me think about all the people that I've met in Australia that have come from overseas and gone, oh, I probably was shutting down a lot of the time as well, because it's like, yeah, you just don't want to think about it to the degree that they're probably struggling with that idea as well.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting is, like, me moving to Canada, I was moving into a culture that I grew up with.
Mm.
I grew up on Northern American television. I mean, it is what it is. But for you, I think it must have been even more difficult because you're coming into a culture that maybe you had to adapt to. And there was a lot of rules and not rules, but cultural things that you had to quickly pick up and be like, how do I fit in here? And maybe there's things that they don't understand about me and vice versa. And did you struggle with that at all?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it was more because when you walk into a hotel here, everyone takes your bags.
Yeah.
And you're like, you kind of get flustered by the fact that there's like six guys coming and taking all your stuff. And you're like, wait, where are you going with that? But they're all taking your stuff upstairs and they're going to put it in your room and it sort you out. As well as when you walk into a restaurant, you leave your phone, your wallet and your keys on the table, yeah, and you can walk away for an hour, come back and they'll still be there. That's also a very foreign concept to me.
Yeah.
And so when you see people do that and you're like, what is going on here? Like like doing things for yourself. A lot of the time when I was picking up stuff from different places, I was trying to do it myself and they're like, no, what are you doing? Like, get the movers to do it and they'll do it all for you. And like, so when IKEA stuff came, I was ready to like put it all together and they're like, wait, no, we'll do it for you. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
By the way, this is kind of nice.
You paid for that service, but you might have not.
I didn't know I paid for it. So.
I thought it was free. And then like the second, third time I bought like stuff from IKEA and I was like, oh, there's a charge that I'm paying.
I think I did the same thing where I was like, oh man, they do it for free. You look at it, you're like, oh wait, it's paid for. And so I think the next time I opted out of it, and then I was like, oh man, I should have just gotten to put it together.
You get used to it very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I think you can adapt to it very quickly. I'm trying to think of anything that's, I don't know. I think it's more just the rules regarding open space and malls and things like that is like, I think when I used to live with my grandparents when I came back to Australia from New Zealand, I used to take my longboard down the front and skate along the boardwalks and stuff like that, take it to the mall, skate around the mall, and the security guard would be like, hey, be careful type thing. Here, if you did that, you'd be taken to the back room and be like, what are you doing with that skateboard?
Yeah.
I think it's just it's weird because it's like this almost, there's a lot of rules, but then also not a lot of rules.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to talk about, Sammy, I'm going to give you some background context here. Sam's the person that, like, you know, we can be sitting in a group and having a conversation, and then Sam's that person that says, oh, I'm a professional, quote unquote, in this thing. Like, it would come up, like, and we keep finding these different things out about Sam that just come up in casual conversation. He'd just be like casually dropping it here and there. And like a few of those things are, he's a chef. That's one of the things. He's an amazing artist. You probably play some kind of instrument or something that we don't know about. No, I don't know.
No, I play guitar shittily. So,
but like, so the question I wanted to ask is like, I mean, obviously, you know, you have a lot of different hobbies, and painting, cooking are the ones that I know of, but they take a lot of time. So, I mean, like we mentioned, you moved like halfway across the world, and obviously you were kind of preoccupied, but did you manage to maintain the kind of things you're interested in? How has the move affected that asset of your life or that part of your life?
I think less the move and more the COVID situation. I think the things that I've retained more of are like going to the gym and drawing. But there are days where you're just like, I don't want to do any of these things. And it's not because you haven't developed that part of you. Like I was, when I was in Australia, I was going every day at 5 a.m. like clockwork. And I was... Yeah, I was in decent shape and I was very happy doing that. And then I think halfway through lockdown and being here, you kind of get into a state of mind where you're like, I don't want to do it today. And you get a little bit downed by it. But I think the thing that's made it's helped me is keeping those two things constant. Picking up new habits is it's hard. I tried to learn a language. I haven't been able to been able to do that. I want to keep trying to do that because I think it's something that I've always wanted to do. And that's the other thing about being here is you're just around so much like so much different things and people speaking so many different languages and you're like, oh, I want to learn so many different languages, and you feel a bit left out when you can only speak one and it's English.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, I want to speak Turkish, I want to speak Lebanese, I want to speak Spanish, I want to speak French, and you're like, oh man, there's so many different things you want to do and you think you have the time to do it in lockdown, but then for some reason you just don't. Yeah, but I think to go back to your question, the drawing and working out have been the thing that makes me calm and collected, and because working out makes me tired and makes me sleep, and drawing's just kind of like a zen kind of thing that I do, which is nice and I enjoy it.
So I think you should share your Instagram,
okay,
your drawing thing, because I've showed you.
Abdullah has sent it to me and I was like, that's not Sam. Like, no, that's Sam.
It's amazing.
It is. I thought I was like, oh, Sam's a great artist because he had told me about the cooking and you invited him over once for it. And I was like, oh yeah,
made pizza.
He's a chef.
He literally was flipping like the dough.
He made the roof, which was also kind of funny.
And then he was like, oh, and also he's an artist. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever, sure. He probably like just like
everyone's an artist.
Everyone's an artist. I'm an artist, right? And then he was like, no, check out his Instagram. I'm like, wait, that's not Sam, is it?
No, I appreciate that. That's very nice of you. I've been trying to get better, but it's a long process.
So what's the Instagram?
Is it CanArts? Yeah, CanArts, I think it is.
Yeah. Cool. So, and I will put it as well in the description.
Yeah, can't remember my own Instagram.
I'm just going to double check.
Yeah, I was like, is it CanArts 3 or is it CanArts? I can't remember.
Well, yeah, we'll look it up.
Yeah, you know, it's CanArts.
CanArts.
So that's K-A-N-K-A-N.
Because my last name is Van Can.
Oh, there you go.
To give a little bit of context. They're like, why is it named that?
So shall we take a little bit of a break?
Yes.
Sam, I know you've got a couple of questions for us as well. So we'll take a little break and then we'll be right back with that.
Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, so my questions to you guys, basically, what have you guys been doing in quarantine? Have you thought about improving yourself, or you've changing anything, or developing anything? I think from the conversation we were just having previously, you guys have. So
when quarantine started, and obviously social media is not the best representation of this, but I kept seeing people online being like picking up, like learning to do this, mm-hmm. learning to do that, and I tried, to be honest. Like I have this, like I always want to read more.
Mm.
I don't know about like you guys, but I'm not really good at reading. I think one of the reasons is that when I read, I need to take in every word. Like actually, what's your... Because you read a lot.
I do, yeah.
Do you feel like... Like, I feel like if I'm reading a book, I need to literally absorb every single word. And, like, I sometimes, like, will read the page and then I feel like I didn't absorb it. And I'll have to go back and read it.
That happens all the time. I think you just need to train yourself. If you, like, sometimes because your mind wanders, right? But you need to let it wander and then you get onto the second page and you keep reading. And if there's things that are missing, then you can go back. But otherwise, you can't overthink it. At least I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a good strategy. Anyway, so back to your point. That one of the things I wanted to do was read more. Mm-hmm. I think I managed to do that a little bit at the beginning of quarantine.
Yeah.
But I stopped at some point. The reason I stopped is because I didn't have as much time. The reason I didn't have as much time is because I started doing a workout and meal plan, which literally absorbed all the free time that we had. So short answer is I didn't do much. Like I had like, and I like I was saying, I'd see people on Instagram being like, oh, we learned this new skill. I've read this many books. I've watched this many shows. And it seemed like a bit of an unrealistic representation of what was happening, you know? So yeah, I guess the one thing or the two things I discovered home workouts. I was always kind of not against the idea, but I always preferred a gym. But then I realized you can do quite a bit at home. And the second thing I did read more, but I've stopped now. So I don't know if I'd count that as a
I mean, you tried, right?
So. I tried. Yeah, I should go back to it. But yeah, I mean, those are the two things probably that I try to do more of, I guess.
For me, I've always wanted to learn how to use Illustrator. I've always wanted to use Illustrator because I work in marketing and I work in a lot of creative spaces. And I used to always watch these people that I work with use it. And I was like, this is amazing. So it wasn't like something that I sat down. I was like, okay, you're going to do it. But because I had so much time and even with this podcast and I was taking some like things, doing things for my family.
I forgot about the podcast. That's another thing that we did.
I was just like about to say, like, this thing is pretty productive and very cool.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's fine. I over time taught myself how to use Illustrator and it's been so great. And then with the podcast, I've learned how to edit and I've learned how to like these kind of things. Again, it wasn't anything planned, but these are skills that when I look back on, I'm like, oh, okay. So I picked up a couple of new skills. So that's been great. Yeah.
That's really cool. A follow-up question to this is, did it ever at any point where you were making all these plans? Like, I remember at the start when I was like in the first little bits, I was like, oh, I'm going to learn a language. I'm going to read more. I'm going to like watch less TV. I'm going to work out every day. I'm going to do all these things. You wake up the next day and you go, oh, I'll put it off. And like, it kind of, the list of what you had compiled in your mind kind of stressed you out. Did that ever kind of come into account?
Yes, to be honest. It's especially with this whole lockdown thing, I kept feeling like I'm not doing much. I think I spoke to you about this. And I told Sammy, I'm like, I just don't think it's realistic. There isn't that much time in the day to be able to do all of these different things. Another thing is that like, I have always kind of been like, I need to be productive, even if it's not work related or school related. I always feel like I have to be productive. So if it's a weekend, I like to do things. Even I would consider going to meet up with a friend as something productive. Like, you know, you socialize, you know,
little wins.
Yeah, exactly. Or like I would go to the mall, or like even if I go buy groceries, at least, you know, you feel like you're, you know. So in a sense, like, yeah, I have this kind of thing where like I feel like I need to do these things. And you start to, if you don't, you start to feel like you kind of failed the day, or you failed at like being productive or whatever. And like, honestly, that's how I felt a little bit at the beginning of lockdown. Like, I felt like I should be making them, like, maximizing the time that I have, and I'm not. So that's one of the things I struggle with. So your question was if we struggled with like
making a list of things that you felt like you needed to get done, when in reality you didn't actually have to get anything done. You could just sit down and do nothing, because basically there was nothing to do. But for some reason, like, what I found happening was I would be like, oh, I want to work out today. I want to start a drawing. I want to do this. I want to read. And then I'd be like, if I didn't do one thing, it was a cascade effect that affected my whole day where I couldn't pick up the pieces again. And I was just like, the whole day's a wash. I'll just start again tomorrow. Which was really bad. I think I've learned over the last few months is, it's okay if one thing doesn't work out and you just kind of flow into the next thing a little bit easier and it's less stressful, I think.
Yeah, for me, I mean, when it first started, there was a novelty to it. It was almost exciting. I hate to say it, but it was like, oh my God, look, we're all going to get into this together and like, we're going to be at home and we have so much time. Quickly, things turned very dark and I was very proud. I'm very proud of this. I was very easy on myself and I was just like, you just need to survive this. And so I didn't feel any pressure, to be honest, from myself, because the whole time I've just been like, just get through this. And even yesterday I was speaking to a friend over drinks and he's like, what are your plans for the next year? I'm like, to survive. Those are my plans.
It really is. It's good to actually have that as a plan. Because it's funny to even think about that being a stressful situation of being at home and having nothing really to do but to be at home and being like, oh, I'm wasting time. It's just like, no, you're not. You're fine. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I think we're kind of, through school and work and all these things, we feel like we always need to be productive. And like, one thing I'm now kind of trying to accept more is that actually you don't always have to be productive. And even when you're not being quote unquote productive in the like traditional sense, even if you're not doing anything, you are recharging so you can do other stuff the following day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's actually a good point. Like and we mentioned this on one of the earlier podcast episodes, my brother was like so regimented about how he planned his day, you know? And like, I would even say that like, you know, it was a bit difficult to squeeze time in because, you know, he was planned down to like the half hour, you know? And that's what I told him. I said, you need a day of nothing, like every 2 or 3 weeks, And you're going to do stuff during those days. You're going to watch TV, you're going to hang out, you're going to listen to music, whatever you want to do, but not everything has to be planned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's important.
Yeah, it's very easy to beat yourself down in a situation 100%. Where you need to be your best ally in life in general, but
yeah,
especially when you're by yourself and kind of going through that kind of thing. It's very good. My next question is, it's more of a question about how you guys feel being in this country, because I think I've expressed how... No, actually, I haven't gone into depths of this, but I probably will once I ask this. But how do you guys feel being in this place? Do you feel like a local living amongst expats, or do you feel like an expat living among locals? Because you both speak Arabic, you both kind of have lived here for a longer period of time. You have family that are throughout the Middle East and everything like that. But you've also lived in different parts of the world, like Canada and I think a few and the UK as well. Yeah. So from your perspective, it's kind of interesting to see, how do you feel about this place as well?
I mean, for me, I've lived here for 14 years at this point, on and off. And I do feel like a local here. And I think a lot of people struggle with this thing of like being a local as in being Emirati. And I think for me, that line, you need to blur it a little bit, because if you keep thinking that way, you're never going to feel like you're part of the country. For me, the UAE is home. It'll always be home. If I leave tomorrow, I will always have a place in my heart for the UAE regardless. Like, the UAE has always been a place that I call home. And I think a big part of that is I have a lot of friends who are from the UAE, so are Emirati, and just getting to know them and having them, more than anyone else, they're the ones who like really encourage me to be a part of this country and to lay roots and to like really succeed living here. I've always felt very welcome. Even sometimes when I've said, oh, I think maybe it's time to move on, they'd be like, but why? And what is it you want to do? But you can do it here. And they support me and they give me the options. And I've always felt very welcome by the country. And I mean, for me, it's difficult to think of anywhere else, because I don't have many options, right? Like, the UAE is about as good as it's going to get. And it's great. But I can't think of it as a place where I'm here for a set amount of time and then I'm going to move on to somewhere else, because as an Arab national, I can't move on to somewhere else. Nowhere will have me. If I want to visit a country, I need to apply for visas and pay thousands and thousands of dirhams. And so it's very difficult for me to think of this as like a midway point of my next move, because I don't have many options. And that's fine. I mean, it's sad and it should change, but that's why I think as well I have such a strong connection to this place, because I feel like it's one country that has, other than my country of citizenship, my two countries of citizenship, it's the one country that has offered me a place to feel like home. So I think that's why I have such a strong connection to it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, and this is something we mentioned in the sort of identity episode, or yeah, identity and belonging. And I do, this is one of the places I do consider home. And the topic that we were discussing was being third culture kids and how you have different places you call home. Honestly, growing up here, you know, being in school here, you grew up around like local Emiratis. You know, we grew up around people from Egypt, people from the UK. And I think that's the kind of identity of the place. Like, it's sort of a melting pot of all these different cultures. So, yeah, I mean, a short answer is, yeah, like this place does feel like home. And I, you know, you do feel very ingrained in, you know, spending a lot of like a big chunk of my childhood growing up here. You know, you do feel ingrained in the little things and the things that, like, if you were to come in like yourself now, you know, you may never get to see or experience. But they're very subtle things that for me, and maybe for you as well, and I know for a lot of people that grew up here, that make this place so, let's say, familiar, or there's like a kind of nostalgia attached to it. And I think that's also part of the reason why I feel connected. You know what I mean?
That I get that whole thing. It was kind of like when I went back to Australia from New Zealand. It was like you were going home. It felt like that. It felt like you were arriving back at the place that you belonged at.
Yeah.
And I assume it's similar to you guys when you came back from Canada and the UK, and when you actually arrive back home, you're like, oh, I feel like I'm actually, it's like you can breathe a little bit easier.
Yeah. The thing is, for you, I mean, you lived in New Zealand for like a good portion of your childhood. Would you consider that home?
No, I don't think I would. Not for any reason that I didn't have a bad experience or anything like that. Like, I had a really good childhood. I grew up on a farm. I grew up with animals and things to do and a big family to kind of entertain myself with. But it's weird. I think it goes back to like what you were saying about the subtleties of different things about your country, where you don't notice them until you leave, and you're like, and then when you go back to it, you're like, ooh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
But you can't really put a finger on it. I think if I could sum it up into like a few different things, I think I miss the smell of rain. Weirdly enough, because you can smell it coming in Brisbane in the summertime, which is usually around December, January, the hottest part of the year. You'll be able to like smell it on its arrival. So it'll be sunny sky, no clouds, and you'll smell this like almost dewiness. You know what's coming. Yeah, like, oh, I can. And then these huge black clouds come over, and then they go in about an hour.
Yeah.
But it's like little subtleties of different things: the noises, the sounds, and just. The accents of people, like you walk around and you kind of, I think it'd be similar to like hearing just native tongue and everything like that. It makes you feel at home.
For me, it's when I come back from at the airport. This is going to sound so stupid, but
I think I know what you're going to say.
Being hit by that wall of humidity. Yes.
Oh yeah.
It is so awful, but I'm like,
it's so familiar.
Where? Oh, home. Yes. Yeah. And it's funny, you know, you say coming back from Canada, but even for me, like I'm Lebanese, I'm half Lebanese, but when I'm in Lebanon, I don't feel like I'm home, even though I'm Lebanese.
Mm.
But because of my accent in Arabic, it's very Jordanian, Palestinian, and in English, it's very North American rather than being more French European like it is. I feel very much othered in Lebanon, even though I am Lebanese, because people will automatically put you in that category of like not Lebanese.
Mm.
Whereas when I'm here, I feel so much more relaxed and comfortable because everybody's just here together, right? We're all in this together. So no one's judging you for the most part. No one's being like, where are you from? Because we're all in this together. So weirdly, I feel more at home here than I do from the countries where I'm quote unquote from.
Yeah. I get what you mean. I think there's room to accept other countries into your idea of home as well.
Because I felt
a similar kind of thing when I was in Scotland, and I felt a similar kind of thing when I was in the Netherlands as well.
Yeah.
So I felt weirdly at home in those places, and I don't know why. It's because my granddad is from the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
So I went and saw them when I was in Scotland, and I got to like meet family and stuff like that. But I felt very, very home. And maybe it was due to the fact that I have family that like blood relatives there. But I also felt that same sort of way in Scotland. And that's probably goes back to the culture of things as well. Like if the culture is similar in the way that people do things, it's a lot easier to kind of glide into different things and be less stressed out about a lot of things that don't really matter that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can get bent out of shape about a lot of different things that actually don't matter that at all, but for some reason really turn you the wrong way. I don't know why.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah.
Just on that point, one of the things that when I joined the company I'm with now, I met a bunch of different people from all these different places in the world. And like I said, like that was a kind of wave of people coming in. And like through talking to people, like I kind of got the sense that they don't necessarily know the Abu Dhabi that I know.
Mm.
And there was like a lot, like I was saying, a lot of different subtleties that I experienced growing up that, you know, if you were to just come in, you wouldn't necessarily experience. So I like organized a kind of tour around the city, and I took them to the cinema that's called El Dorado. And like anyone who grew up in Abu Dhabi knows El Dorado.
Mm.
Like I think it was the oldest cinema in the country or something.
Oh wow.
And the sad thing is when we went,
and it's beautiful by the way.
Yeah. And when we went, it was they basically shut it down and they were taking the signs off.
Oh no.
But like that's one of the things or one of the experiences that would tie someone to Abu Dhabi. It's El Dorado was so familiar. Like Titanic, we watched Titanic in El Dorado. Like you'll remember the movies you've seen, you know?
Oh, really?
And like it was, so like it's all these different subtleties. And like if you were to come now, you wouldn't know anything about El Dorado. And there's, you know, it's something that, yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, so you said you don't feel like you're home in different places. And this is like obviously a topic that we can get into. But I kind of feel at home in different ways in different places. You know what I mean? Like Jordan is somewhere I spent every summer in when I was growing up. And like, my mom is Jordanian, but like, even though I'm not, I still feel like there's something about it that's kind of homey, you know? Mm. Like, but yeah.
Yeah.
Goes back, I think, yeah, like your culture and how you, just the comforts of what you find comfortable.
Exactly.
And how people kind of look after each other and
yeah.
treat each other and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think that's good. My next question is, during quarantine, did you guys have any dark moments, and what were the things that, if you did, what were the things that brought you through it?
I love this question, by the way.
Yeah, it's a good
one. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a very realistic question, I think, that people can talk about.
Well, it's a big one in Australia at the moment because the suicide rate has gone up quite yeah. substantially.
Really? Yeah.
And it's a huge problem because a lot of people were, especially in Melbourne, were living alone and they didn't have that kind of thing to fall back on.
Yeah.
Even though there were people that are around and wanted to like talk with you, they just kind of were like, nope, I'm going to stay inside. And it was an excuse to be lonely.
That's so sad.
Mm.
And true.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it hasn't been easy. And there's two things that really, for me, were the darkest moments. Within the first month, I developed a really bad skin infection that basically left me bedridden for about 3 weeks. And it was, I can handle a lot of pain. It was the most pain I've ever had in my life. And I was just constantly bleeding everywhere and I couldn't move. It was, it was awful. Abdullah has seen the pictures of the blood.
Yeah.
It's like a murder scene.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was the height of quarantine. It was within like a month. So people were still really very much into it. And so I couldn't see anybody. No one could come over. And there were these moments, I think when you're really sick or when you're very in a lot of pain, all you want is someone to be next to you holding your hand or hugging you or telling you like it's okay or just having someone next to you just to feel a bit better. And I went through those 3 weeks on my own. And I remember like driving myself to the hospital, to the ER with tears in my eyes thinking like, I'm alone in this. Like, because I don't have family and my friends were all quarantining. And I remember thinking like, I'm on my own. And it was such a dark moment. But then there was one point when it started to get better, I remember I was like on my hands and knees cleaning up like the most disgusting, disturbing amount of blood in the world. And I was in so much pain. But I remember in that moment thinking like, you're that bitch. Like, you've done this. You're so tough.
Mm.
And I think that's what got me through it, is thinking like, I can do it on my own. Like, yeah. I am on my own and I'm living on my own. I'm going through life at the moment on my own. And that really brought me a lot of strength.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think for me, I wouldn't say it's a dark moment, but I had like periods that were kind of stressful. I'm by my nature kind of a neat freak. And like in general, like I like things to be a certain way. So when this corona thing happened, then I was like, you know, you can't see it. You can't control it, you know. And I'm like what? Like if you wanted to go out, it's like, are you being reckless? Are you not? Is it safe? Is it not? So like that kind of drove me crazy.
Mm.
I'm also an overthinker. So like I would, for example, go out and then something would happen that I think, you know, maybe you can contract the coronavirus if somebody like walks by you in a certain way and, you know, breathes in your direction. Yeah. And like those, like overthinking those moments was really difficult because like you can drive yourself crazy and there's no, you know, there's no way out of that situation except to not overthink. And for an overthinker, that's quite tough, you know?
It's an impossible ask, yeah.
It's an impossible ask, especially when you're, like, stuck at home and, you know, you can't really go out and, like, everything, the world is stopped and all you have is, you know, time to think. Like, that was a difficult thing. The second thing is worrying about my parents because my parents are quite old. My mom's going to kill me if she hears this. But they're older. And
so she's 45.
Yeah. And obviously I was worried for them. And like that still is until today. Like I don't stop, you know, and like that's a kind of difficult thing. Not being able to see them. And I know I'm talking to two people who live in different countries and their parents. Having your parents so close, but like just not being able to, you know, go out and reach out and like even hug them. Like and even as I gradually started to see them more, like I haven't hugged my parents in 6 months, 7 months. And it's such a weird thing. Like,
yeah.
You know,
not hugging people in a long time is weird.
Of course.
And I'm a big hugger.
I know.
I'm a big hugger.
Same
so
with me.
Yeah,
I like to hug people.
Yeah.
But it's so strange. It's like your perception of everything you literally never had to ever think about is now completely changed.
I think for me, another big thing was the Beirut explosion. My family lives in Beirut. Yeah. My younger brother and my parents, and they live a kilometer away from it. So they were in the heavily destroyed zone. And I remember when it happened, again, it goes back to like just feeling so alone and so far away and so helpless.
Helpless.
I just didn't know what to do with myself. And I remember I was like pacing around my house for 20 minutes. And I had these guilty feelings because I didn't go through it. And it was a completely different experience, obviously, than my parents or anyone who lives there. But it was its own kind of like trauma of being so far away and so helpless. But the thing that, and I'm still dealing with that, to be honest with you, and I think me going to Lebanon next week is me kind of taking a step to dealing with that. But what really helped me is my friends. And I mean, within 15 minutes, I had friends at my door and they kind of spent the evening with me. And then, you know, people calling me every day and Abdullah hearing me talk about my feelings all the fucking time. And, you know, and people from Canada that I haven't spoken to in like 10 years reaching out.
That's lovely.
And small things like that have helped me through it and continue to help me through it. But that was one of those things where I, like, that was dark. And I think for everybody, not even just Lebanese people, it was just a dark period.
Well, yeah, I think that's one of the things that I've noticed while being over here is there's just so much going on in the Middle East that you just don't hear about in my part of the world.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea what the kind of things were going on in Lebanon until I got here and I started talking to Lebanese people and they're like, oh no, it's pretty fucked up. You're like, whoa, what is actually happening?
I mean, but there's also very good things, right? But I think the reality is a lot of the countries do deal with those sort of things. Yeah. And it's a bit sad that it's not heard about.
Yeah.
And I think the good things aren't heard about either. I don't know. I mean, you can tell me a bit more, but like there's a lot of positives as well, especially in a place like the UAE we don't get much visibility internationally, I don't think.
No, because it's kind of that part of the world where people are like, oh yeah, like it's like I was saying about coming here as an option for work. I've never thought about it as an option because it was just never a thing that you brought up. You were like, oh, you go to Europe or you go to America. The Middle East is not something that is the thing that comes up first. It's like, it's always another country, which is weird because it's a lucrative country to come work in. And actually there's a lot of jobs that actually come out of this place as well. I wanted to go back to you, Abs, about living with your wife because she's very opposite to you in terms of how, like, not so much the neat freak and having to keep everything in order and everything like that. She's more like, let's go outside and do things and was that more refreshing, or was that kind of like putting her in a corner and being like, stay here?
To be honest, it was like all about balance.
Yeah.
Like I know I'm a little bit over. So I try to push myself to kind of get out of my comfort zone because I know like probably the way I do things maybe isn't the norm or is maybe a little bit extreme. But like, I think we've both in so many different aspects of our lives, have like tried to find the balance in terms of, you know, like I know I'm this way and you know, you're this way. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of try to meet halfway in the middle, you know? One thing I wanted to raise, sorry, I know we're kind of going off on a tangent, but like you mentioned, you know, like the Middle East isn't somewhere that's necessarily, I don't want to say not talked about, but like, you know, the way the media portrays it, you know, sometimes it can be portrayed as like an overall negative, you know, like, oh, things aren't stable, things are this and things are that. Was that difficult in terms of like you being in Australia, maybe like if you're consuming mainstream media, you would just kind of have this image of the Middle East as one sort of bubble of, you know, dysfunction or whatever. Like, was that a scary thing for you to like?
Not necessarily, because I looked into what like Dubai and Abu Dhabi and everything like that was, and I didn't see it. I wasn't really concerned about that. I think when I got the offer to come work here, my parents and everyone was really excited. They were like, oh, this will be an awesome opportunity because you'll be able to go do all these different things. Like, you don't have to stay in the country. You can go travel to Europe and you can go travel to America and you can come and travel the Middle East as well and Africa and do all that kind of thing. And that was the most exciting part about it, was like, I have the ability to go do that. And it's sucked to not have the ability to go do that at the moment because of COVID.
It'll come around.
It'll come back. It'll come back. But yeah, it's definitely, I think it's definitely a thing that hinders it from being an option that's given to people, because I think it's really hard to get into places like America and Europe because you have to have all those visas and everything like that. Whereas with the Middle East, it's actually quite easy. I didn't do hardly anything. I applied for the job and everything was done for me. I didn't have to go to an embassy in my own country and do anything. I had to get my degree attested and that was pretty much it. I think that was like $150 Australian and that was the only thing that I needed to do and send it off. And everything else was kind of done for me.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy. But yeah, it's been a wild experience for sure. I think it's definitely made me a different person. I think the whole experience of being here by myself, and I think goes back to you, Sammy, as well. I think I had a very similar experience with the first few weeks. We're like, okay, we're gonna get some stuff done, and then it was just this kick of like you feel very lonely and like you're like, oh man, this doesn't feel good at all, and I don't know what to do to actually, because there's a certain point where you've talked to people virtually enough where you're like, all right, I need to be around someone to actually physically be around someone.
Yeah.
And not having human contact for 3 to 4 weeks is really difficult.
It takes a toll.
Yeah. So I can totally see why people go down that really dark route.
Yeah.
Of being in that just really dark state of like, oh man, is this ever gonna go?
Yeah.
But yeah, it does. It goes.
So. It goes, but it's dark. It's really dark.
It's like, really dark. Because I don't think myself of a, like, I don't think I'm a very depressed or ever been depressed kind of person, but I felt very down and very depressed during this time.
Yeah.
And it was really weird and difficult to deal with.
We have a segment at the end, which we'll get to.
Oh, I think I have one more question.
But yeah, I was just going to ask if you have one more question.
Goals for 2021, because this year's a whitewash.
Yeah.
I'm big on goals. So before the New Year's, or probably like around New Year's, every year I have an Excel sheet. It's a template that I've put together. And
so you got it all laid out for the next.
I have the goals. They're broken down into different like themes, let's say, and like different quarterly like sort of achievable targets.
Can I just say that is so you, Habs.
Yeah. That's like so typical Abdullah.
It is. Yeah, it is. Honestly, I don't have like. I think the general themes of my goals have been recurring over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Which have been like and like the priorities shift. So like. Fitness is one of my goals. You know, probably I want to do like a few different measurable things like runs or whatever.
Yep.
Work is a big one. And obviously we have to do our goals at work, which so, you know, but like progressing at work, I think that's one of the most important things for me is just constantly evolving at work and feeling like I'm learning and contributing and growing in that sense. But like one thing I really would aspire to do more of is to, like I used to be really into like researching things and within the field of, you know, within the field of work that I do and things that aren't necessarily practical. Like, and like that's something I feel has kind of fell off in recent years. And it's something I'd really like to get back into.
Yeah. More of a theological kind of thinking of about how you want to live your life, basically.
Yeah. And like the thing is, I mean, I kind of related more towards urbanism. So like studying, you know, different theories about cities and how like cities can run more efficiently or more sustainably. And like, it's something you have to do at school when, you know, when we're doing our masters and it's something I'd like to do more of as well.
Mm.
Kind of boring goals, I'd say. They're not the most exciting.
For me, I mean, like I said earlier, the main one is to survive, but, one of the goals I had for 2020 was I wanted to go and travel to the US on my own and spend a month or a bit more than a month there, just traveling and living there and enjoying it. So I think I've pushed that. If by some miraculous reason we go back to normal, I think I would want to do that in 2021 and then do something similar as well in the Philippines.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I want to go. I just want to take like a very extended vacation on my own.
Yeah.
That's not a vacation. It's more of just like a small move, I would say, and just kind of like settle myself in for like 5 weeks and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then more realistically, I've decided next year I want to write something. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a short story or a TV show pilot or a movie, but I really want to sit down and and write like a piece of work just for me.
Yeah, I think you were talking about this. I think from
last time.
Times.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
That we saw each other. Have any of the goals changed? Like, I think for me, what happened was I was similar to you, Abs, where I was just like, I want to progress through work and I want to do these things, and it was very work orientated. I think as the year progressed, I was just like, you know what? I think I want to just do more things like this. Like it came down to, I don't know. It became more of a personality change rather than like a financial change or anything like that. I was just like, I want to try and be more friendly. I want to try and meet more people. I want to do these types of things. Did that kind of happen with you guys as the year progressed, or did it still stay the same? Like you were saying, you were more looking at like, how do I become more sustainable? Like, how do I develop a system for more sustainability? Yeah.
One of the things, and like, not, it's not something I thought through per se, but definitely the social aspect.
Mm.
Like, I've known Sammy for a long time, and we've lived together a few times. So we've like gotten very comfortable in this setting, this exact setting that we're in now, where it's like, you know, I'd come over, we'd hang out, we'd watch a movie, you know. And I think, and I've spoken to Sammy about this before, but like, one of the things I would like to do more of is actually do stuff. You know what I mean? Like, go out, or like go to, you know, try out different restaurants, or whatever it is, you know, different cities or different, like, whatever, museums, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think it's easy to get into this comfort zone of like, you know, we're happy doing this works for us.
Mm.
But like, definitely I'd like to push myself a bit to get out more, socialize more.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is fun. Like, you know, and every time we do it, and not just with Sammy, but with anyone else, I'm like, this is really fun. I should be doing this more often.
You know? But this is also kind of a nice little goal I think you guys had to do the podcast. I think you guys were talking about this for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
It's a perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good way of actually diving deep into someone else as well and getting to know what their thoughts are. But what about for you, Sammy? Has it changed at all, or?
Over the past few years, I've kind of struggled with a lot of anxiety and has kind of bled into social anxiety. And I think being at home for 7 months now, 6 months, has made me realize that that's something, once everything goes back to normal or whatever it is, I want to work on not being so socially anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people who know me casually would be surprised at me saying this, because I come off as a very open and engaging person, but I'm not actually. I have a lot of anxiety when it comes to social situations.
Mm-hmm.
And being at home so long has made me realize, like, I am a homebody and I like my space, but I need to work more on meeting people and being open to meeting people. Because when I meet people for the first time, I can come off as being very, very standoffish, like an awful.
Yep.
I've had issues with people, like, where friends of friends have been like, why is he such an asshole? Yeah. So I want to work on being more approachable and being more friendly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true. Cool. I've been in situations with Sammy and he'd just be like, I don't know what the word is, like, so grumpy. And I'm just like, this is a social setting. And I'd like have to like drag, like, I'd be like trying to drag him, like, not physically, but like, you know, like, get into this conversation. And he would just be like, you know, like,
not
hands
interested.
Crossed, pouting.
Yeah.
I didn't find that, Sammy. I found you very, very nice to me. And I was like, this is Sammy.
The day I met you was a good day. But I remember that day when we went to the market, right? But
it was the market, and then we had and then we did Mensif.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, Mensif.
Oh,
yeah.
Mensif.
Oh, I missed that. So that was great. I actually like that was a really good day, because I was like, I think I was coming off a really low point of being here for a few, like, I think it was my first month being here, and I finally just moved into my apartment, so I was like a little bit less stressed, but I was still kind of stressed. And then you were like, come to Mensif, and I was like, yes, absolutely.
I will.
I would love to.
For those who don't know, Mensif is a very social food. It's like it's designed to be eaten by hands around the table. So it's we didn't eat by hand.
I don't think we ate by hand. I think there was one table.
There was a table. Yeah, Alex ate it, but yeah, that was a really good day.
It was really fun.
Mm,
it's delicious.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the takeaway 10?
Yeah, so I didn't warn Sam about this.
Oh. I love it.
Catch me off guard. Here we go.
So takeaway 10, we're going to ask you 10 rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And you have to give one answer and you have like...
About 10 seconds each.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Cool. 10 seconds is a long time. I say 5 seconds.
5 seconds? Yeah. No, okay. Come on. 10. Give me seven. Seven. Cut the difference.
All right.
Seven.
We'll meet halfway. All right. So here we go. What's your favorite meal to cook?
Chicken pie.
Oh. What is your favorite... What is your favorite way to like engage and interact with your body?
Oh, like a exercise?
Anyway, anything that makes you feel alive and connected to your body.
Oh, deadlift.
Okay. Oh, I love deadlifts as well. That's
good. What was your best travel or holiday experience?
It'd probably be Copenhagen.
This last time?
Yeah. Nice. It was awesome.
Your proudest moment?
I won an iPad at uni.
What?
For the best design for a pathway. And I was like, oh, wow. I'm actually a landscape architect. I felt like a landscape architect.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that
is amazing. Like, yeah. It was a uni competition.
What's your biggest regret?
I've heard you ask this question before. This is going to be a bit long-winded. I don't know if I have too many of them because I feel like the mistakes that I've made have formed me into who I am now. So it's like to regret those things are, I don't think helpful. I think they're just, you just take them on as lessons and rather than like go back and forth and be like, even though I do that, I tend to regress back into the, like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But like, I think if I think back to it, I'm like, well, no, actually that actually helped me become who I am. And even though it's not something that I would want to do again, I learned from it and I won't do it again and I'll just continue my life like this.
Yeah.
Your favorite concert experience?
Ooh, I went to John Hopkins in Melbourne. If he's like a, it's like a, I've given it to Abdallah once. Did you? It's more like trance music.
Was it on the playlist you made?
Yeah. He's John Hopkins, so like the University of John Hopkins University, he went and did a lot of different types of drugs at that time and made some really, really awesome music. And it's just like trance kind of house music. It's really, really cool. And I went there with my brother and one of our friends, and it was really fun. Really enjoyed it.
What's your favorite Instagram account? Please don't say Sammy's.
No,
we don't follow each other.
It's an artist called Villat. I can give you a link to it as well. He does these really awesome pencil sketches, but the way he shades everything, he does it all in like these one strokes. It's just they're awesome. But the way he does it as well is what he previously used to do was he'd get little excerpts from his followers, like they'd write like a little story. And then he'd make a drawing out of that little story. So it's they're really weird and wacky ideas, but they're really, really cool.
Nice.
Your favorite hobby? I know you have a lot, but what would be your favorite hobby?
Probably drawing, I'd say. I'd say that. I wanna get into animating as well, but that's also a whole other process as well. It's so much more effort and there's so much more going on in that. But it also goes down to like learning how to edit and do all those kind of things and learning timings and stuff like that. But it's interesting as well.
What's your biggest fear?
Not doing enough in my life. I think not living up to what I think I could be.
Yeah.
If that's a very deep answer.
And finally, if you could repeat one day in your life, what would it be?
Ooh. That's a really hard and good question.
Yep.
Oh, there's so many days though. That's the thing. I think it would be the time that I went to the Sunshine Coast with my friend. We did the walk through the hinterland. And by the end of the day, we were like totally gassed and totally done. But then we set up camp and we were just sitting out underneath the stars, up looking up between the eucalypt trees and just feeling like we just felt great because we were tired and we were just sore and we're like, oh, this is so good. I think I repeat that day.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the takeaway 10.
So again, if anyone would like to follow Sam's art and drawing account, it's Can Arts, and we're going to put the thing.
We'll link it.
We're going to link it. Thank you, guys. Sammy, where can people find us if they'd like to
subscribe.
Hear more.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast. And if you do listen to us, please rate and review us. It helps a lot. And share this podcast and share our Instagram, Bit of You Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks, Sam. Thank you so much for hanging out. It was really nice to get to know you a bit more on the personal level. I mean,
outside our first of work. Australian as well on the podcast.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. Many more to come. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I've actually really enjoyed the way you guys have laid out everything. It's very comfortable. It's been really good actually getting to know you guys a bit more as well, because I think we dived into something a little bit deeper. So it was good. It was fun.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, and see you next time.
See you next time in 2 weeks. Bye bye.
Bye bye.